This is AWLS, podcasts on wilderness medicine from the University of Utah School of Medicine.
Hi, this is Richard Ingebretson from the University of Utah School of Medicine. Today we're going to talk about mosquitoes and how to prevent from being bitten by them. Some might say, why are we talking about mosquitoes in a medical course? Well, the answer is mosquitoes spread more disease and kill more people than any other animal on the planet Earth. The bite of the mosquito can be extremely deadly. It can also cause birth defects and all sorts of diseases and long-term problems such as arthritis and other things. So understanding mosquitoes and how to avoid them is extremely critical in medicine. Mosquitoes have been around for an incredible amount of time. They have found mosquitoes in Canadian amber that dated back to the Cretaceous period, which is 79 million years ago. Mosquitoes are attracted to humans by the carbon dioxide that we breathe out, lactic acid, warm skin, and moisture. They also, it's interesting that they move toward the smell of soap, detergents, and perfumes. They can sense those. And the other thing that's important to know, it's only the female mosquito that has the mouth parts necessary for sucking blood. When biting with their proboscis, they stab two tubes into the skin. One injects an enzyme that inhibits blood clotting, and then the other is there to suck blood into their bodies. The female mosquito is going to use that blood not for their own nourishment, but as a source of protein and iron for their eggs. For both male and females getting food, they eat nectar and other plant sugars primarily. So all mosquitoes have to have water to survive. They generally live in two kind of habitats, permanent water and then floodwater areas. Their permanent water mosquitoes tend to lay their eggs on the surface of standing water, the edge of lakes and ponds, you know, around the vegetation, swamps and marshes. The Culex and Anopheles mosquito are among the most common permanent water mosquitoes that we know. And I'll say those names again, the Culex and the Anopheles, because those are two of the three species that we're going to talk about today. There's a lot of species. We'll get to that in just a minute. But some species prefer clean water, while others prefer stagnant or polluted water. Mosquitoes are most active when the average temperature is around 70 degrees Fahrenheit. If it's too hot, they won't go out. If it's too cold, they'll either die or not. Many permanent water mosquitoes can also breed in containers that accumulate water, such as wading pools, buckets, or even toys left outside. Now, the floodwater mosquitoes lay their eggs in moist soil. The eggs will dry out as the ground dries, then hatch when rain saturates the ground again. Floodwater habitats include drainage ditches that fill during storms, woodland pools created by melting snow, spring and early summer rains, floodplains along the banks of the streams, rivers, and things like irrigated pastures and fields. Floodwater mosquitoes breed in containers. Also, like the Aedes mosquito, or sometimes we call the tiger mosquito, loves to go to old tires where you've got this dirty, filthy water. And they also will go to the tree holes and to the bark or on the roofs of buildings and lay their eggs there. Mosquitoes live all over the world, except they will not live in freezing climates. Where they need water to breed. So eradication and population control efforts usually involve the removing of standing water sources. And that's something you do around home and buildings and camping is get rid of standing water because that's where they're going to lay their eggs. Through time, they've used insecticide to kill mosquitoes. Global efforts to stop the spread of mosquitoes have had little effect. And honestly, many mosquitoes think global warming will increase their number and their range. There is some ongoing efforts now genetically to decrease the population of mosquitoes, and that is being used the main way they do that is to take the male mosquito and change the genetics, and then when they breed, the female mosquito, either the eggs will die or even the female mosquito will die. There are an amazing number of mosquitoes on the planet Earth. It's estimated that there are 75 quadrillion mosquitoes. That's about 20 million mosquitoes per person. There are about 3,000 species or so, and they keep finding new and combining others. but there are only three species that really bear the primary responsibility for the spread of human disease. These three species are the Anopheles mosquito, the Culex mosquito, and the Aedes mosquito, sometimes called the tiger mosquito. The Anopheles mosquito is responsible for the deadliest disease really ever known to man, malaria. It also spreads filariasis diseases. The main one is elephantiasis. It also spreads encephalitis. Culex can do encephalitis and filarial diseases, but it's responsible for the West Nile virus, which is now seen in a lot of places of the world. The Aedes mosquito is the one that spreads yellow fever, dengue. It does spread some encephalitis, chikungunya, and Zika, which has really made a big problem recently as an outbreak of that has occurred. While it's not essential to memorize these specifically, there's some data about each mosquito that is important. The Anopheles mosquito prefers fresh water. It will not go into like salt water even, but it prefers really fresh water. It breeds during the warmer months. Females deposit their eggs on the surface of the water, and unlike other mosquito larvae, the Anopheles mosquito do not have breathing tubes, so they must lie parallel to the surface and breathe through the holes in their sides. The Culex mosquito can breed and thrive in stagnant or polluted water. The Anopheles mosquito really must have clean water. They can go into marshes and swamps or rice fields, but they like clean water. The adult female mosquito lives about 2 weeks. The reason that that is important is because it really cannot start spreading disease until it's been alive for about 2 weeks. So the deadliest disease known to man being spread from a Anopheles mosquito can only happen for about 1 week of the Anopheles mosquito's life. And another important point to know of the Anopheles mosquito is it only comes out at dusk and goes away at dawn. This has medical implications because that's why you want to keep mosquito repellent and long shirts on as the day turns into dusk all the way through dawn. The Anopheles mosquito are the carriers of such a deadly disease, and it's transmitted by the malaria, and it's transmitted by the saliva when they bite. More than 1 million people each year die of malaria, and 500,000 each year are children. And the Culex mosquito is a mosquito that is extremely common around the world. They breed in any standing water. They can be quite persistent in their biting habits, and their bites tend to be more painful. Some people actually complain of pain. They tend to hibernate over the winter and breed during the warmer months, laying just a huge amount of eggs at night on the surface of standing water. They normally don't travel more than a few hundred yards from where they hatched, and adults will feed from dusk to dawn, just like the Culex mosquito. They're very aggressive and they're persistent biters. They prefer birds, interestingly enough, to people, but it is for this reason that they are the primary carrier of the West Nile virus. The Aedes mosquito has a particularly painful bite, and they go a long way from their breeding habitats, up to 50, 75 miles. They tend to bite during the day in urban areas. They don't like going out into the community, into the freshwater. They'll live in, as we said, tires and in the barks of trees and on roofs. And when the sun comes out, they start biting. So mosquitoes bite during the day and the night, depending upon the species and where you are. They really do prefer the city kind of habitats. The eggs can survive drying and hatch once revived by water. They like warm weather, but some of the tiger mosquitoes can live in the colder environments. Some of them also like floodwater areas, and those are very fierce and very painful biters. These are the ones that give us dengue and yellow fever, Zika, and chikungunya. So there is a long list of diseases that the mosquito spreads. Top of the list has to be malaria, but dengue, which kills a lot of people, also yellow fever, which is still seen in many parts of the world, Eastern equine encephalitis, Japanese encephalitis, St. Louis encephalitis, West Nile virus sprung onto us in the 1970s. Western equine encephalitis, Rift Valley fever, chikungunya, and Zika are the primary ones that we know about. And there may be others that will emerge throughout the world as they come from different travel around. as Zika did a few years ago. Every time an infected mosquito inserts its proboscis into the skin, that person is infected with the virus or the disease instantaneously 100% of the time. And that's an important concept to know because in order for a mosquito to function, it has to put its proboscis into the skin and inject saliva that contains an anticoagulant. If the blood were to clot around the mosquito's mouth, it would stick in the skin. So with the saliva comes the disease. And that's not like ticks, where it takes up to a day, 2, or even 3 days to transmit the disease. You will get the disease instantaneously 100% of the time. This becomes a very important concept medically because the only way to prevent a disease spread from a mosquito is to prevent from being bitten by the mosquito. Taking medicines and other things don't prevent you from getting the disease. You really need to keep from being bitten. The red bump and itching carried by a mosquito bite is an allergic reaction to the saliva. Although it's very itchy, you've got to tell people, your patients, to avoid scratching. The itch will go away on their own. If relief is needed, you can put almost anything that works, hydrocortisone cream, calamine lotion, cold packs, crushed ice, things like that will help. But to emphasize again that the only way to avoid infection is to avoid being bitten. The following suggestions can help you avoid being bitten, whether you're out in the wilderness or in the backyard. Staying indoors is a really good way. Mosquitoes will get inside, but they don't want to live inside. They need to get outside. And so if you go outside during the times when there's dangerous mosquitoes, you'll be better. You should wear clothing that is tightly woven, such as nylon, but that is loose-fitting so the mosquito cannot bite through the clothing, and they will do that. You need long sleeves, long socks. As well, wear light-colored clothing. They tend to look for dark heat, dark clothing which produce heat, so lighter clothing is better. Also, it's important to avoid, when you're in a mosquito area, to use scented bath products, colognes, perfumes, lotions, fragrances, shampoos. They tend to be attracted to those. At nights, when you're in an area where there are mosquitoes, use nets and screens in an effective way. You should fit the mesh screens around doors and windows that provide these mosquito-free zones in your home or tent or wherever it is that you're out and going to be around dangerous mosquitoes. It has to be a small enough hole that mosquitoes can't get in. An amazing compound that you can put on your clothing and on the tents and mosquito nets is permethrin. This is a naturally occurring compound that has insecticidal properties. It has some repellent properties, but that's not its main use. Permethrin is from a group of chemicals called pyrethroids, which is a synthetic form of a natural insecticide found in the chrysanthemum flowers. Permethrin kills mosquitoes by disrupting their central nervous system. It's not harmful to people and to most animals if it's in small amounts, and it's actually the compound that's used if you get lice or scabies. However, permethrin is toxic to fish, and it will kill them, and it's also toxic to bees, and for reasons that it's not clear, it'll make cats sick, so you have to be careful around other animals, but most animals and humans, it's not a problem. There are only three repellents that have been approved in the United States by the Food and Drug Administration for the repelling of mosquitoes, and these are very important to know. The first one is DEET. DEET is the gold standard, and I don't mean to sound like I'm speaking in superlatives when I say that hundreds of thousands of studies have been undertaken to see if anything's better than DEET, and there isn't. It is sold in formulations of 5% to 35%. You'd actually get 100% DEET, but you really don't ever need anything more than 35% DEET. It's kind of oily, and a lot of people don't like the smell of it. However, if you get it on your glasses, it can goof up the coating on your glasses. But the important thing to know is that DEET is very effective. We're trying to get people with infants and toddlers under 6 months of age not to wear it. DEET and the other compound, picaridine, can be applied in adults and children over 2 months of age and are appropriate to repel mosquitoes carrying the West Nile virus. However, DEET should not be applied to the hands or near the mouth or the eyes of children. Thousands of studies I've shown that DEET remains the best method of preventing the bite of the mosquito. You make sure you're using 30% DEET if you're in the area where there's an off mosquito and the possibility of getting malaria. Other compounds like picaridin and oil of lemon, eucalyptus can be used to prevent mosquito bites from biting, but they're not strong enough to prevent the bite of an extremely aggressive Anopheles mosquito. And while picaridin and oil of lemon also have been shown to repel mosquitoes, neither provides the same level of DEET. So remember not to put it on. The American Academy of Pediatricians advises not to use any insect repellents on a baby who's not yet 2 months old. Well, we mentioned DEET, and then we mentioned picaridin. 20%, that's the other one that's been approved. There's two others, DEET, picaridin, and oil of lemon eucalyptus. Picaridin, 20% concentration, has shown to have similar efficacy as 20% DEET for up to 8 hours. Picaridin, 7%, has a similar efficacy of about 10% DEET. Picaridin is notably less malodorous and less staining of the material than DEET, so people prefer it. But it's marketed as an alternative to DEET, but it really doesn't do as well against the Anopheles in an aggressive biting situation where there's malaria. It began with the bear people in the late 1980s over in Germany and then quickly spread. It was in Australia and other places. It's a receptor blocker. It doesn't really repel mosquitoes. It just keeps mosquitoes from locating their prey. There were two Australian studies that were done by the Australian Army that said picaridin performed nearly as well as DEET and caused less skin irritation. You can use it, but DEET still is the gold standard. Oil of lemon eucalyptus was developed from the lemon eucalyptus tree, and it's known as what they call a biopesticide. It was initially discovered in China and recently earned a recommendation from the CDC. So the oil is synthesized from the tree's twigs and from its leaves. It works by blocking mosquitoes' chemical receptors and is available in spray and lotions. It has performed well in tests, providing about 2 hours of protection. But the label says that it's also not recommended for children under the age of 3. It's a naturally occurring chemical, unlike DEET and picaridin, which are synthetic man-made substances. In African nations, they will use, they'll actually swallow pills and lozenges made from oil of lemon eucalyptus. And there is some data to show that it will work its way to the skin and provide some protection, but that is not what is recommended. As we said, it's the most effective natural repellent on the market. In 2005, the CDC added this to its list of recommended insect repellents. They found repellents with concentrations of 30% generally provide about 2 hours of full protection from mosquitoes and up to 6 hours under certain conditions, which is roughly equivalent to repellents with 10 or 50% DEET. However, it provides a really significantly less duration of protection than higher concentrations of DEET and picaridin, which completely repel mosquitoes for 5 hours or more. So DEET, picaridin, and oil of lemon eucalyptus in that order. There are other repellents like candles from citronella help mosquitoes stay away as well from biting. Studies have shown that when sitting near a candle made of citronella, people will generally see about 42% decrease in mosquito bites. However, ordinary unscented candles will decrease the biting by about 23%. Citronella is also natural, and it comes from grasses. Oil of citronella is a mixture of many components. The exact composition varies with the grass variety. Oil of citronella is a very popular for a number of reasons. One, it smells good, and people just tend to like it better than some of the odors of the other three approved ones. They have it in sprays, lotions, candles, pellets, pouches. It's sometimes placed in some sunscreen products. We've seen it in wristbands and in flea collars. And it works by masking the scents that are attractive to mosquitoes, making it difficult for them to locate their prey. But it has not been approved as a repellent by the Centers for Disease Control in the United States. Many years ago, Avon's Skin So Soft, this is a bath oil, was suggested to have mosquito repellent properties. Since then, Avon Company, which produces the Skin So Soft, has produced a line of Skin So Soft products designed to repel mosquitoes. They currently incorporate IR3535 and also picaridin. These products were tested in cage studies back in the early 2000s against two species of mosquitoes. And in general, the length of protection was similar to that for DEET preparations of similar concentrations. These products provide a protection for an average of only 10 to 15 minutes, going up to 30 minutes for all volunteers. So this is not long enough compared to other stronger strength repellents such as DEET, but it's better than nothing. And moms love to put it on their babies. So if you're going to go outside with babies and children, just keep putting it on, and that'll keep the mosquitoes away. To a similar protection that DEET gives, but for much, much longer. It came out by the Merck Company in the 1970s and was used originally in Europe. It was registered, I think it was in 1999, and the IR3035 can be irritating to the eyes and may dissolve plastic bags and some other safety risks. So it doesn't work as well against the Culex mosquito that sometimes carries the West Nile virus. However, 20% formulation was effective as DEET was repelling those mosquitoes. So those are the three ones, and the others, the picaridine, oil of lemon, eucalyptus, and DEET. DEET is the gold standard. Picaridine is probably next, and oil of lemon, eucalyptus would be in that order. There's a lot of home remedies that we read about, like dryer sheets, banana pills, Vicks VapoRub, are all rumored to be mosquito repellents. They are not. Mouthwash and dish soap has absolutely no efficacy at all in repelling mosquitoes, so you don't want to try that. So in review, there are thousands of different species of mosquitoes, but only three of them are responsible for spreading disease. And remember that the only way to prevent disease spread from mosquito is to prevent from being bitten. We gave you tools to do that. And remember, the only three types of mosquito repellents that are approved. Be careful which one you put on babies. Remember also that taking a medicine such as Malarone or doxycycline to prevent malaria does not prevent malaria. If the Anopheles mosquito bites you and has malaria in its stomach, you will get malaria. What happens is that those medicines will prevent you from being very sick, will help prevent you from being very sick. But the only true way to prevent disease transmission is to avoid being bitten by a mosquito. Well, this ends this podcast. We again thank you for listening.